Hello, my name is Amanda, and welcome to This Organized Home.
Fantastic to have you all here today. I am so excited to share this episode with you. This beauty really is mum goals. A mother to three with a fly-in, fly-out husband, and somewhere among all of this, she has found the beauty in time to be a successful founder of 3 six-figure businesses. Emma is real. She is rocking it all. She is balancing parenthood with the most significant aspirations and ambitions we all dream of. Em has created her name to be its own brand. She knows what it takes to make a business successful, and on a daily basis, she goes to the effort to show us all how to manage social media like a pro. I have enjoyed this interview so much, and I just know that I could listen to Em all day and learn from the beauty that she has to show us in all of the management systems and processes which she uses in her life.
Hello, Em. Thank you so much for being a part of this podcast episode today.
Thank you for having me. I'm so honored.
Oh, have you had your cup of water? It's the first question I ask everyone. Do you have one?
Yeah, so I had my fizz stick this morning with water, and then now I've got another water sitting here.
Oh, beautiful. Okay, so let's just jump right in. Can you just tell everyone a little bit about yourself? Who are you, your family, everything?
Yeah, so I'm a mum of three girls, who are 9, 6, and 4. And my husband is a FIFO worker, and we live in the beautiful coastal town of Mandra, which is about an hour out of Perth, but on the beach side. They call it like the holiday destination because it's quiet, calm, and beautiful.
Wow. Have you always lived there?
No, we moved here about 6 years ago, or 7 years this year, actually. So I am from Kalgoorlie, where I met my husband, which is like a mining town.
Yeah.
And we lived there until our second child was born and we moved.
Oh, that's brilliant. So what do you do with your life? Who are you? Are you working? Do you want to tell everyone about your work life at the moment? And your
Yes. So I run Socially M, which is my third successful six-figure business. And I really truly think that this is the one. I kind of have spent my whole life going through multiple careers, trying which one I wanted to go through. And it wasn't until I kind of became a stay-at-home mum that I realised, like, why am I going back to work for something I don't enjoy? So I started in IT when I was 16. I left school when I was 16. Started in IT in terms of being an admin. And then I went into mining and then a bar manager. And then my last career before I started my own businesses was a wedding coordinator. So I've kind of done it all.
Absolutely. What made you want to start your own business?
After my second child was born, I just found I didn't want to go back to work. I wanted to be that stay-at-home mum, but I'm also not the typical stay-at-home mum. Like, I do not like to clean and cook. I would rather work to pay for someone to do that. And I know that sounds so silly, but, I'm just very career driven but it was always for the wrong reasons. And after my second child was born, I started a kids' clothing business, which I enjoyed. And it was right at the prime when Facebook was like the main selling point. There was no Instagram. It was just Facebook. And you would put up a post saying, comment with your PayPal if you want this, and you would get 100 orders. So it was so easy. And then I started another one, which was a loop and marketing company. And then I sold that, and I just decided that I just want it, my new business, to be about me and the message I have to deliver and to teach women. And yeah, so that's how we came about.
Oh my gosh, that's beautiful. It's like you've accomplished a whole lifetime in like 10 years.
Yeah. I did a post about this a few months ago, I think when I just turned, well, last month actually, when I turned 30, and I said I really feel like I finally found what it is I'm meant to be doing. And I think we push ourselves and into things to experience it. Like, obviously everything I've gone through is never a mistake. It's, you know, a learning curve, but yeah, I've kind of found my feet now.
Oh, that's brilliant. So when it comes to your family life and like motherhood and just balancing and rocking it all and it's surviving, really, being the incredible like working woman you are, how do you manage the tiny little logistics from the pickups to the drop-offs, the school, you know, dropping your kids to school, dropping your kids to daycare? Do you take on that responsibility? Is it shared? Because isn't your husband a fly in, fly out?
Yeah. So he isn't really here most of the time, so I kind of do it all. For most of the kids' lives, he's always been FIFO, and it hasn't been until the last 2 months. Prior to that, he would be doing like 3 months on, 1 month off, away international. So he was in Africa, and then prior to that, he was working for M1. So it's only been the last 2-3 months that he's kind of dropped down, and now he's doing 2 weeks on, 2 weeks off. So no, I do it all. When he is home, we kind of do it together, because like I could stay home and sleep in, but I kind of enjoy that, like holding hands, walking into school, you know, doing it together type thing. But yeah, mostly it's me, and it's a juggle because it is only me home. But I think it's the situation you've been given. So people always say to me, How do you do it? Like, oh, it must be so exhausting having a FIFO husband. Like, how do you manage it all? And it's like, my hard is no different to your hard. You have your own version of hard, and what you think is hard, like, I can't judge you on that. Like, you have a hard situation at home, and I have a hard situation at home. It's just, we just deal with it. I can't say I'm not sending my kids to school today. So yeah, it's just, I think we just get given the hand we dealt with, and we just do it.
And you just do it.
Yeah, exactly.
How did the transition go from having your husband do the month on and two off to the weekly now? How is that with your relationship? Do you like the difference or the change?
Of course, I love having my husband home more. It's been a bit of an emotional rollercoaster. I'm not going to say it's easy because I guess for the past 4 years, he has been away a lot, and he's missed out on me and he's missed out on the kids. So he's kind of seen this strong, independent woman now that he's like, who is this wife? This wasn't who I married. I had a really terrible upbringing in terms of I was mentally and physically abused. So for years, I've kind of been this broken wife. And when he came home, he's realized now that I'm not that person anymore, and this business in particular has made me become the real me, and I'm found myself and found my worth.
And so
the past few months has been a bit of a juggle because he's not used to this person that I've become, and also the kids. Like, he felt like an outsider stepping back in, because he was only ever home for, you know, a week or two at a time, or if he was home from Africa for 4 weeks, because he had been gone for 3 months, that we would be away. So it was never really the normal routine, whereas now he's stepping back into that, and it has definitely been a juggle. And I think any FIFO relationship kind of goes up and down, down with that emotional roller coaster, because you want your husband and then you have him, and then he's driving you nuts, and then
that's it. All you want is for them to be home, and then they're home, and you're like, you're not listening, you don't understand what we normally do.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So how is being the mum to three beautiful girls? What are your age gaps? Are they all 2 years apart?
Yeah, 2 years and 9 months between each of them. So they're 9, 6, and 4. But yeah, we were very lucky that at 2 years and 9 months, we said, okay, we're ready for the next. And it happened in the first try for all three. So,
oh, beautiful.
Yeah. So it was as soon as they turned two.
Oh my gosh, that's beautiful. How has parenting changed your life when it comes to going from being your own person to then being more of you, essentially, yeah, who need you more than what you need yourself?
It's kind of, well, I think I have a different story to most people. Like I said, my childhood was really rough. And between 20 and 28 was, you know, I battled a lot, like, and it wasn't until I saw a therapist and she said, all of these emotions you're going through is because you want to be the best mum, better than what you had. Yeah. So I was up and down, and now I finally found that I'm not trying to beat myself up. I am a better mum. I am giving my kids a better life. I think my biggest fear was always falling into that trap of being, you know how they say you follow on, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that was my biggest fear. But yeah, now in the last 2 years, I've kind of just found that I'm not that, and yeah, found my worth again. And now I'm giving that back to my kids and making them feel loved and making them feel strong and independent women, you know, of their own, because I do have three girls. So I don't want them to struggle with the demons that I dealt with. So
absolutely, what a fantastic role model you are for them. That's just such oh my goodness.
Yeah,
I should have disclosed before we started, I'm like a bit nervous to interview you. I think you're doing all those beautiful things that we dream of dream of actually being able to multitask and implement in our lives. I've got three young kids as well, and yeah, it's just, let alone find time to do these podcast episodes, it's that beautiful juggle, because you are so thankful and gracious, but yet you also are ambitious.
So
when you're living your fly-in, fly-out lifestyle, we've kind of already approached this a little bit. How do you and your partner distribute that? I'm calling it like the division of labor in a household. It's like, yeah, not the 1950s type thing, but it's interesting because everyone is different. So one person might prefer to do, we all have to do washing, you know, or gardening. How do you and your husband communicate as to who does what in your household?
I'm a screaming banshee. My husband has always, like, my husband will do anything for me, literally anything, but he has to be told.
Yeah.
So I will just say, honey, can you load the dishwasher? I've just kind of gotten used to, after 12 years of being together, that I can't expect it. I have to ask for it.
Yeah.
But it will get done. I just can't be like, okay, he's got to do it. So, yeah, he's more of a father when he comes home. So he likes to do the schooling. He likes to sit and do homework. And he doesn't really like to do the housework. I mean, neither of us do.
No,
you won't see him chucking on a load of washing. The only time you'll see him chucking on a load of washing is the day before he's got to fly out and he's got to do his own clothes there. He hasn't washed for the week that he's been home.
Yeah.
And that's the only time he'll do it, because I refuse to do any washing that is not in the laundry. I'm not going looking for it.
Yeah.
And he leaves it on the bathroom floor and I refuse to pick that up. So we're both, I'm incredibly stubborn.
Oh, good on you.
But if I want anything done, yeah, I just yell or scream it or say it and he'll do it. So, yeah.
That's fantastic. Do the kids pitch in? Do the kids have their own little... chores,
yeah, and stuff. The older two do. So my eldest they're in the morning, they get up and they have to get dressed, make their breakfast, make their lunch, and load and unload the dishwasher. That's their jobs. a lot of people say, oh, I make my kids lunches. I make my kids lunches. I think it's incredibly important for my girls to be raised independent. So they know how to do it. Why am I going to do it? They know how to do it and they want to do it. So yeah, that's how we do it. That's their job. Yeah. And when they come home after school, they'll either unload or reload the dishwasher if we've got dishes throughout the day. We normally just tidy up the toy room at the end of the day, but that's about it.
How did you go about teaching them how to do this? I've got, my oldest is 4, so I'm trying to teach her a few things.
My youngest is 4 as well, and she has started to make her own toast in the morning, which she's just started school this year, so hopefully by next year she'll be able to make her sandwiches. But she does, the youngest is a little bit hard because she loves to milk it with her older sisters, and her older sisters will do it for her. But in all honesty, and this is where I told you I am really raw and honest, I'm lazy. So I would rather sit on my phone and answer emails so then I don't have to do them later on in the day, when my kids are more than capable of making their own lunch. But again, it's that juggle, hustle of business and work. Like, what can I fit in this half an hour while my kids do it instead?
Absolutely. But do you have to, like, pick up after them and stuff? Like, I find, like, if I was to get my daughter to make her own toast, I'd be like, okay, Ava, now I have to put the Vegemite, like, back in the fridge or...
Yeah,
kind of stuff.
Oh, they'll pack it away, but, I mean, they'll leave, like, crumbs and stuff, but you can't, like, I can't expect them to be perfect. The oldest one, like, she's like turning 10 this year, she understands, so she knows, like, if she's made something to load it in the dishwasher and wipe the bench down. It's something you just continually say it over and over, don't forget to do that, and she'll do it.
Do they make their own beds as well? Is that something else you do?
No, we're not really a bed maker in the house.
Sometimes people have like the whole your bed must be made before you leave your home and all that kind of stuff.
I've heard that is like the intelligent CEOs and managers and people like that do that, but no, again, I think with this, like, people always say, like, how do you manage the hustle, blah blah blah, it's those things that you cut out. I can't get myself stressed over a bed made, you know. I'm jumping straight back in and dying at the end of the afternoon. So, we don't do the bed making.
Oh, so you're incredible. So do you, as a family, especially with your husband being home, do you eat your dinners and your meals and all of that, do you have your dinner together or do you have it separate?
Yeah, we'll eat at the dining table together. If hubby and I are watching a good Netflix series, we might sit on the couch.
Yeah.
But no, otherwise we generally sit at the table, or the kids will eat before me. So if I'm cooking something different, or if I've ordered something different, they'll sit up at the bar stools at the bench and eat before. Or if I'm working and got something on, they'll eat before me, but I'll be standing in the kitchen with them. So that's kind of
have the same bedtime.
Yeah, all 7 o'clock. My eldest has just asked me to stretch that out, but the other two girls, so all three of my kids, I brought them bunk beds because they all like to sleep together, but they won't use the bunk bed, so all three sleep in the queen on the bottom, and they all have to be together and they all hold hands every night, which is the cutest. But my oldest has asked me to extend her nighttime, but she just wakes up at 5 in the morning, which that's her time. So she wakes up and then the other girls don't wake up till about 6:30. So I'm not going to give her a late bedtime because I'm strict on that's my time.
Absolutely. When she wakes up at 5, how does she not wake up the other girls? Is she just really quiet or have you chilled?
Yeah, she's just quiet. I guess I've always just taught her to just put the TV down quite low, get your breakfast. Yeah. And sit and eat your breakfast. And the other two girls aren't an early riser, so they'll just sleep through it, really.
Well, that's amazing. I think I love it when kids room share. I think there's a lot of beauty in that from siblings, but it's a lot of, I think there's a tiny little bit of work as a parent to get them to be behaved when they room share as well. Do they talk much before they go to sleep?
some nights, like if you put them to bed and they're not really tired, they'll chat for half an hour. But they've kind of, I've taught them now, you can talk, just don't get out of bed.
Yeah.
And I mean, if it's 8:30, then mummy's getting mad.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, it's, they're girls, they're going to talk. So I'm not really firm on them going, right, this is your bedtime, that's it, like, don't talk. They're girls, they want to talk, so, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. So you would have been relatively young, I'm doing inverted commas with my hands, young mum, 20 when you had your eldest?
Yeah, so I was, yeah, I turned 20 when I conceived her. And halfway through 20 when I had her, so yeah.
Have you seen
very young
if between having her at 20 to I guess now having your 4-year-old? That's like a good beautiful 10 years.
I'm so glad that I am done so young, because like I struggle with the 4-year-old. I'm like, I cannot deal with you. Like, she's still sleeping in our bed. Like, so she'll come, some nights she'll come into our bed, wakes up in the middle of the night and comes into our bed, which is totally fine. But I'm just like, I could not do the newborn right now. Like, I feel like I'm too old. But I don't know if it's because I've been doing it for 10 years now that's why I have no energy. but it was hard. Like, I lost all of my friends, all of my high school friends when I did it. But I feel like I had to go through that to make my lifelong friends. So all of my friends that I have now are friends that are mums and get, you know, what I'm doing. And whereas all the people that I did go to school with, they're all just starting to have kids. So I think it was just different stages in our lives. I'm definitely thankful I did it quite young. Although we did book a Contiki tour for 4 months and had to cancel it when we found out, but my husband and I have always said we wanted to travel with our kids and not travel before them. We wanted them.
And you've done that? You've traveled a fair bit with your 3 girls?
Yeah. So we do a Bali trip every year with all 3 kids. And my oldest has been to like Phuket, Bali, Brisbane, like, so we go to quite a few places with them. And now we're kind of diving more into camping now that they're older.
Yeah.
Because I'm not going to pull my hair out, but yeah.
Well, I was about to say, do you have like top 2 or 3 tips with traveling with kids? It's pretty high.
I think don't expect them to be well behaved. So don't put that expectation on you, because they are kids. Take lots of food. So I would take like a week's worth of food on the plane.
Yeah.
Just my kids, like if I can shove food that they're not supposed to eat in their faces, they'll sit still. And little activities. Like I would go to Kmart and just buy like the $2, you know, like little toys and little activity things that they have in the, you know, the loot bag section, and take them on the plane with me, because they'd play with something for 20 minutes, then they'll ditch it and get out a new one and they think it's gold again. So now that my kids are a little bit older, iPads all the way.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Everyone's sanity is at risk, especially on a journey to Bali from where you are.
Yeah.
So putting the time into presenting your Instagram page, your web page, your work, do you allocate a certain amount of time in your life? Like, are you like a time blocker? How do you kind of manage it? Or are you just on the spot and you do it? What's your kind of system?
I've kind of really been struggling with this the past few weeks, which I've kind of been sharing in my stories, is avoiding the burnout. Because as my business is evolving, I'm finding that I'm spending more and more time in the business. So I literally am on my phone 100% of the day. And a lot of people think, oh, you know, having your own business is so easy. You can just chuck up a post and you sell and that is it. And it works. But it's, if you want it to work, it's a goddamn hustle 100% of the day. It doesn't stop. Customer service doesn't stop. Like it's a juggle. So no, I don't really have set times. I'm trying to implement 9-to-5 business hours, But that being said, I wake up and I see a million emails and I'm like finding myself instantly replying. So I think it's a constant juggle. I don't think. And then even when I find like I come back from a holiday and I'm like, okay, I'm working 9 to 5, within a month, that's gone out the window. So yeah. Because you want your business to. No days off. None at all. I think because our business is all online. So how do we walk away from that? How do you walk away from a customer's email saying, hey, I want a website and that's a $600 sale? How can you not reply to that?
Yeah.
Because you need that sale, right? So there's no days off. I have just set, I guess, when my kids have sports, so their sports during the week and on the weekends, no phone. Sometimes I'll even leave at home so that I ensure that I'm definitely not going on it. When I catch up with girlfriends, phone in the bag, that's it. They may jump on theirs and I'll have that urge to like get it out, but I've always been brought up no phones at the table or like while you're talking to people. So I do try and stick to those type of things. And like on the way to school or on the way home from school, that's where I really get to talk to the kids and say, you know, what did you do? What did you learn? What was your best part about your day type thing? That's where I can kind of get in with the kids.
Beautiful. Well, you mentioned extracurricular activities just before. Do you have like a certain rule of thumb? How do you let your kids participate in it? Is it one activity each kid or can they just pick and choose whatever they want? How do you juggle the extracurriculars with them, for them?
Yeah, our rule has always been one. I know a few school mums have let their kids do a couple, but I would just find it like, you know, because you've got, it's not like my daughter plays basketball on Saturdays, which I coach. So I do training and the coaching on the actual days. So that's 2 days of my week that are hers. London, my middlest, does little athletics. So she has Tuesdays of training and Saturdays, all day Saturday. It goes for 5 hours on Saturday. That's her competition days. And then Esme does swimming on Wednesday. So Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and all day Saturday is all gone to kids, like extracurriculum. So they've asked me to do more, but I'm just firm on the one because, again, it's finding that balance of not making myself go batshit. Because if they had more, I would struggle to find the home work-life balance. So, you know, they just do one that they really love.
Yeah, beautiful. Have you found that they've changed that activity throughout their years or have they kind of stuck to it?
When they first started school, I kind of put them in a few. So most of the places that you can do, they kind of give you like a free trial. Or you can go along to the first session and you just pay for that session instead of paying for a membership. So I kind of put them all through a few different things. London really surprised me. She wanted to do gymnastics and I was like, yeah, cool, go for it. And then her friend started to do little athletics and I was like, you are not sport related. Like, who even are you? I was like, you can't run. What? No. My husband and I were making fun of it. We're like, yeah, sure, we'll take you along. And then she came first by a mile in little athletics and she's just so good at it. And we're like, what the? So yeah, I just think trial them in a few things just to find what they like. And like if they were to turn around and say to me, or like Bella, I was like, she's been doing basketball for 5-6 years now. And I'm like, do you want to try something else? And she's like, no, mum, I'm good. So they just kind of found the thing that they're good at. Yeah.
On a beautiful weekend, other than sport, what activities do you go, okay, we'll do this as a family? Is there something like bike riding or do you do something particular together?
We like to go down to, there's a little marina here, which is on the water. We like to have a breakfast and then there's like a train. You can go on the train that takes you around. We'll take the kids on the train, maybe do mini golf. Or we'll jump in the car and go do a like wine brewery trip down south, which is like 2 hours from here, go visit somewhere, and yeah, the kids, I will just sit there, have a wine and lunch, and then the kids will run around. Like, yeah, we're not really like bike riding people. I prefer to be at the beach or
swim.
Because I feel like bike riding or like going for a walk or like, yeah, I just feel like we're not connected. Whereas if we're like in the car for 2 hours, we're singing, we're playing, you know, or if we're down at the marina, like we're having breakfast, we're sitting there talking to one another. So, yeah.
That's beautiful. Would you say, I guess, what would you say is the key to a healthy, happy home and the balance of that healthy, happy home?
If you know the answer, let me know.
It's hard.
I think trying to set some sort of boundaries in terms of work. So like I said, not having my phone at the table and things like that. Also communication. So it's taken a good few years for my husband to get used to the fact that I am on my phone and my phone is my work, because it was always like, get off your phone. And then that would create arguments. Whereas now he's like, okay, she's working, leave mummy alone. Like, and then he would go and could start dinner or cook or things like that. So I think communication is the biggest thing that you've got to learn when juggling a home business and home life.
Beautiful. So do you ever stop? No, the answer was no before, wasn't it, that you never stop? So
yeah,
I'm going to preface that with the next part of this podcast episode is more about building a business. And just as you said, that your passion is to support and encourage women to be confident and strong and to do whatever it is they feel passionate and confident and strong with. Other than like participating and enrolling in one of the brilliant courses that you offer on Socially M, which I'll put in my show notes. What are the top three things someone can do? And I mean like things as in they want to start a business or they want to start something that's new, it's different. What are your top three things or tips that you can give to someone?
I think we all start with an idea, which I think is the most important part of nutting it out and looking at the market. What's at the market at the moment? Who's your ideal customer? Would they want this? How much would this cost? The age, the demographic, what's out there, the competition, really nutting that out before you take the next step. Because if you haven't done your homework, and you know, you could create something that is already out there and doing successfully, so why do it?
Mm-hmm.
So I think really investigating in the idea before you take the next step, which the next step would be to meet with a business coach or someone in the social media game like me, who can say to you, yep, this is great, and this is how you market it. A lot of businesses, if it's product-based, once they've had the idea, they'll just go and buy it all and then spend all the money on the website and the stocks, that they actually then have no idea how to market the idea or the product or the service.
Yeah.
And they generally, like, honestly, and this is the part where people go wrong, is people will come to me and they're like, oh, it's not selling, it's not working, I don't know why, I thought just putting up a post would work, it's not selling, and then they have no money.
Yeah.
So you learn how to actually market it before you get into it. Because also, if you had a meeting with me, I would tell you it's not easy and these are all the things that you need to do and this is how you do it, and you'll go, okay, I actually don't have the time to do that right now, but I'm going to put some money aside so that I can have someone do it for me. So you just allow for all the extra factors and also learn how to market it and do it successfully from launch. And then the next one, my next third tip would be to either have someone like myself write out a business plan or write your own business plan. So you're not just going in guns blazing and have no idea what you're doing. You actually have a direction and goals and you're achieving them.
Beautiful. So when you thought of Socially M, had you been building that up in your head for a while or was it an instant thought? What was your process?
So my previous business, I was doing that. I was doing what I'm kind of doing now, but the business was going in a different direction in terms of doing loops and markets. And I wanted to solely focus on the women in business and teaching them and, just supporting them on their journeys. And so I was going in a different direction. So I left the business partner, and then it was a bad breakup. So I literally said to my clients who I had built over the last 5 years, I'm leaving, I'm not sure what I'm doing, and I'm just going to take 6 months off. That lasted for 6 days, and my clients contacted me and said, if you do not start another business, or like, we need somewhere to point people to, like, we need someone, we're coming with you, and we need somewhere to point people to. So I was like, you know what? And then after that 6 days, I was so freaking bored, and I was like, what am I doing? Like, this is clearly what I'm meant to be doing. So that's when it came about. And now I started that in June, and here I am, and it's grown 16,000 followers in that time. So it's just blown up, which to me says I'm doing the right thing.
Absolutely. Were you scared of failure? Not that you're failing at all.
No, I don't think I'm scared. No, I don't think I'm scared of failure, because in my mind, I'm not going to fail.
Yeah, that's a great mindset.
Yeah, and I think it really is about, if you plant that seed of failure,
yeah,
you're putting yourself in the wrong position in the first place. Like, people say, oh, I'm scared to jump into this business idea because I'm scared it's going to fail. Well, you've already put that in your head.
Yeah.
So in my mind, it's just not even an option. It's, what can I do next? What's next? What's my next goal?
Yeah, what's, and how can I solve that problem rather than stew on that problem?
Yeah. I'm not someone that'll just, like, you know, people keep saying to me, oh, so you're doing the tour, it's sold out, like, you must be so excited. I'm like, yeah, I am, but I can't wait to tell you what I'm doing in November. So it's like, I'm already not going to just stop. I'm hustling to keep it going.
Yeah.
And I think that's where people go wrong, is they're like, oh, I'm scared to fail, or what if this fails next month? Don't put that in your mind. Think about how you can make it not fail.
That's such
what more could you do? Advice. Yeah.
Do you ever have, like, problems in your business? Like, how do you overcome them?
Oh, 100% every day. Every day. I have a team of 12 girls and me, and we've just hired another two more in the last week. So yeah, like, this is why I'm on my phone flat out, because I have a team of VAs, and then I have my marketing team, and then the, like, girls that my assistant. So 100%, but you just deal with it as it comes up, I guess. Sometimes it's really daunting. Yeah. Like, last week I had a day where I was just like, okay, I'm turning my phone off, which is so not like me, but I just need to have a goddamn good cry, go and get my nails done, have a freaking coffee in peace, and be left alone.
Yeah.
And I did. And then I came back and I'm like, right, this, and this. This is how you do it. This is what you do. So, yeah, I think it's just, if you get to that point, switch off, do something for you, and you'll be able to help it. But I don't think any business is ever perfect. There's always things going wrong. You just have to continue figuring them out along the way.
Absolutely. So, well, growing a business can be really tricky, especially with all the time, the energy to build, which ironically, Instagram can actually take away a lot of your time and a lot of your energy. In this kind of catch-22 situation, what do you do to ensure that you always have that control and that ownership of it?
I think because I do give 100% to my business, so I have trouble finding that balance. But the one thing I do have control over is my home life.
Yeah.
There's routine there, and, you know, my kids go to school every day, so it's the one thing you can control. So I make my home life easier so that I can deal with work. So for me, it's like having a cleaner come in once a week or once a fortnight, because then I'm not going, oh, my house is such a mess. Like, you know, I would rather pay that $100 a fortnight to have someone come in and do it all for me, which might not be an option for some people, but I know if I work 2 extra hours a week, that's going to pay for it, you know? Yeah. And it creates that little bit of stress. I think in our minds, we're doing too many things, trying to do everything. And the one thing I can personally have control over is my home life and how I can make that easier. So by me making that easier so I can work more efficiently, I have things in home that can help me.
Yeah. In your home life, I'm just curious, do you grocery shop, or does your partner, or do you online shop? What's your life?
I do click and collect, baby.
Do you do it weekly?
I reverse that car up and throw it in, and then my kids unpack it.
How good is it? Honestly, life's changed. No kids in the supermarket anymore.
Yeah. I sit on my phone while I'm having my morning coffee, while the kids are making their lunch, ordering the food shop once a week, and then I pick it up after school and the kids unpack it.
Do you meal plan, like what you're having that week, or do you just think it up in the spot?
No, so we kind of like, we're pretty boring. I hate cooking, like literally hate cooking. I hate my kitchen being a mess and I hate cooking. So I will only cook about 3 or 4 times a week, and it's the same meals every single week. So we have homemade spaghetti, which is, so I've just gone gluten-free since October. So my kids will eat the same as well now. So I make a homemade gluten-free spaghetti, and then it's chicken with broccoli. And then I have lamb cutlets with broccoli. And then for the other one, I normally either have steak, and the kids will have sausages. That is literally as good as it gets. And that's then the other days,
simple and nice though. Like, you don't not stressing about 10 million things together.
Yeah, and then sometimes if the spaghetti, like, well, if I make double, it'll last me 2 nights, so we'll have spaghetti for 2 or 3 days. But then, like, the other days, the days that the kids have their sports, I always just grab Subway or McDonald's on the way home. Yes, it's bad, but again, it's not putting the pressure on yourself to then go home and be this perfect wife and cook dinner. So
it's always relative as well, like every time changes as well.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. I find it's really, I love, because everyone is so different, especially when it comes to, we all have to eat. We all have different ways in surviving how we can eat in the household. And do your kids eat well? Like, do they eat the same, as you said, they eat the same as you. Have they always been that good, like good eaters?
London doesn't really like a great deal of meat, so she would be more inclined to eat as much broccoli as she can. They were always really good eaters as babies, because I was the, what's the word for it? I didn't do
the baby
parade stuff. Yeah, baby leading. Yeah, that. I did that. So they've always been really good in terms of having their, like, eating their own food. But yeah, they're honestly really fine. Like, sausages, I think every kid loves sausages, right? And pasta, every kid loves that. I kind of, sometimes they might have like a potato salad or something from Coles, whereas I will just have broccoli. So I kind of like, or I'll chop up fruit and give them fruit instead of vegetables. So yeah, they would have fruit any day.
Okay, beautiful. So we're going to move on to the last part before I get to my last 5 questions. And that's a bit about self-care, because self-care is pivotal, especially when you're juggling, like you are, managing and juggling everything in your life. How would love to know, what gets you motivated? What's your motivation when you wake up in the morning? What's that motivation?
This is something I'm a big believer in, is knowing my why. Mm-hmm. Why am I doing what I'm doing? Why? Knowing my why as to why I'm getting out of bed and working when I could be a stay-at-home mum, you know? So knowing that I am helping 12 women who are also mothers become their own bosses from home, earning a full-time income, that is my why. Like, knowing that I am supporting women, helping women grow their own businesses. Again, I think, and a part of me has kind of just realized that this is why I love this business so much, is because of my childhood, I was always needing to be validated in, like, do you love me? Am I loved? Like, so I think this is the right career for me, because I am supporting so many women. They come back to me and they're like, oh, we love it. Like, thank you so much. It makes me feel good about myself. Yeah. So that's my why. And knowing that I'm getting out of bed and helping change lives makes me keep going every day.
And that's that consistent thought is what helps you stay motivated throughout that day. Do you think that's for you? Do you have a cup of coffee? Do you have that glass of water? Do you close your eyes for 20 minutes if you need it?
I will jump up and have, so my, in the morning, I will get out of bed and I set my alarm for half an hour earlier, just so I can sit in the chair in the lounge room with no TV on, sit in pure silence, watch the kids get dressed and have their brekkie with my Fizzstick or coffee. So my Fizzstick is like the Arbonne natural caffeine, which I've switched to instead of coffee because I found it lasts longer. So I have two Fizzsticks in the morning and I just sit there in pure silence. That's me. Like, I'm not on my phone. I will just sit there in silence.
Are you meditating?
And then when I go to bed at night time.
Are you meditating?
No, I just kind of sit there and watch my kids. I just appreciating what I have and planning out my day, I guess. That's kind of just my me time. I'm not a morning person, and anyone will tell you that. Like, do not talk to me. Like,
what time do you
So I get up at 6:30 in the morning for school, but during the weekends, like, as you would have seen on, I don't know if you saw my stories, but on the weekend I woke up. So how about you and I stayed up and watched a Netflix series till 3 a.m. so we didn't get up till 11, and we woke up to our dogs dressed in dresses.
At least you got up, sleeping after all of that.
yeah. So I normally wake up at 6:30 during the school though, but yeah. And then after the kids go to bed, that's kind of my me time. I'll sit and read a book or watch Netflix. That's kind of where I just chill out.
Beautiful. So do you schedule your day up with a planner or a diary? Do you use an app on your phone? How do you schedule your day?
I schedule my day with, I have a booking system, which my assistant has. So she kind of schedules my day for me. At the moment I'm kind of booked up for 6 weeks. So I kind of just fit things in between bookings. I've kind of just had to put a cap on only doing 2 or 3 bookings a day, just because it is really draining. Yeah, I kind of just schedule it in between. So I'll wake up, take the kids to school, come home, do work, jump on a consult, do some more work in between, and make myself some lunch, go and get the kids, and then jump into school activities and things like that, or jump on the computer and finish some more work. In saying that, I do have my own, I have my own planner, which I just come out with. So I write out my whole week's worth of goals and things that I need to achieve that week and tick it off as I go. That keeps me accountable.
That's epic. When it comes to just the reflection upon when the kids were younger and multitasking, all of those things we just spoke about, do you remember how, especially when the kids were talking probably like the 6, 4, and 2, like the rule? Intense. How do you remember anything in particular that you did to survive?
Oh, that's a good question.
Because, you know, when you're like at your feet and they really need you, but you're just really trying your hardest to multitask and just get everything done.
I think having a good support base, having friends that are going through the same thing that you can message and be like, I'm going to murder my kids today. You're going to find them out in the green bin at the front. Like, and also surviving on wine, pouring yourself a wine at the end of each night going, I freaking deserve this. That was kind of my thing. And don't beat yourself up. Like, pour yourself a wine and go, tomorrow is a new day. That's kind of how I survived it and got through it.
Yeah, and because everything's relative, because like that 2-year-old won't be 2, next year she'll be 3, 4, and then they end up growing up, and then the emotional needs are a little bit worse than the physical.
Yeah, exactly.
So we're getting to the conclusion of this beautiful podcast episode, and I'm concluding it with these fast 5 questions I've deemed it to be. It's kind of, because they're all different, so it's kind of interesting. So for you, what would you find to be the easiest midweek meal? Do you make something? What's your takeout choice? What's the quickest, most easiest thing to get the entire family fed?
Either my homemade spaghetti or Subway. Like, I love a gluten-free Subway wrap, and the kids love wraps as well. So yeah, either homemade spaghetti, or which is super, super cheap and easy. Literally takes me 10 minutes to make. Subway.
Can I ask you how you make your spag bol?
Yeah, of course. So it's gluten-free pasta from the gluten-free aisle, just any of them. We usually use the penne. And it is 500 grams of mince, a can of crushed tomato, mushrooms, and in the gluten-free aisle you'll find Celebrity Health. It's called tomato and basil sauce, and that's it. Just chuck it all in.
Oh, epic. That sounds really
good. And it's really delicious. Even my husband, who is not gluten-free, he was like, this is actually amazing, and I was like, I know.
Oh, that's so good. So would you, or do you have like a number one money saving tip? Something that it's helped you not say essentially save money, but I guess maybe allowed you to put money into the business. Just that number one tip that you've been able to do to get where you are now.
In terms of my personal afterpay, I'm not a big saver, so for a good 2 years my husband didn't know what afterpay was, so that was my way I could get
there. Oh, I love that.
I did read this question when you sent it through, and I was like, I'm the worst saver, don't ask me that. So answer, but in terms of business, yeah. That was kind of a big, for the kids growing up, like, yeah, I used to hide everything in terms of like all the like Rock Your Baby outfits on afterpay, and he had no idea.
Well, having 3 girls in particular can be very expensive.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Especially to like, I learned them to dress nicely and look nicely. So yeah. Especially on Instagram, when your business is on Instagram, like you just see everything and everything was pretty, but yeah. But in terms of the business saving, this one's kind of been a bit tricky for me because 2 months ago I just turned into a company. So now I'm like paying the tax and the GST. So it's like, that's probably the only thing now that I actually do save, because I don't want to give that to the tax man.
Well, my husband, he went from self-employed to his own company, and put that money aside.
Yeah. Like, it looks amazing sitting in your account, and then you just like see the textbook come and you're like,
much.
Yeah.
What would you say is the easiest activity you do as a family? Especially when the kids are probably younger, you may have experienced this, that you just need to get them out of the house or do something. What was that? Was it like go to a picnic? Or?
When they were younger, it was probably just like there's a place called Chipmunks here, which is like an indoor play center. If I had really had enough, I would go and pay the $9 to lock them in the cage so I could sit there and drink a coffee in peace. And that's how I also cope during school holidays. So because work doesn't stop, I would take them, there's now a few places here that I would take them there, like they could jump on the indoor trampoline so I can sit there with my laptop and work for 2 hours, you know? That's the juggle, right? Mum life and work life.
That's it. All right, and my last, I've got 2 more. Next one is either or. Do you have early mornings or late nights?
Late nights, 100%.
What time do you go to bed? Just out of curiosity.
During the week when it's school, about 9:30, if I don't go to 9:30, like if I stay up late, I am not a happy person in the morning. But on the weekends, I will usually stay up till about midnight, just because I find that that's the only opportunity I get to do have for myself. So I'll sit up and watch Netflix or read a book or, yeah.
Yeah. So that's kind of like my last question. What is, like, how do you fill your cup up? Like, Emma, what is that one thing that you do that is for you and you only?
I love to catch up with my girlfriends. Mm-hmm. I love a good apple martini. So yep. Finding time once a fortnight or once every 3 weeks to catch up with my girlfriends, go have some girl chats, the phone down and just have a few cocktails, or going out for dinner with hubby, or even just like going in and getting my nails done once a fortnight, like that, sitting there in a vibrating chair that massages me.
Yeah.
I'm getting my nails done for 20 minutes. That kind of something for me.
Oh, that's, it's really are balancing it all. You're doing fantastic. And just thank you so much for being a part of this episode and just showing women different types of ways in which we can all survive, manage, live, organize our homes.
Thank you for having me. I hope I could help.
I'm sure you have. Thank you so much.
Wasn't that amazing? If you liked this episode and you would like to hear more like this, then please give it a 5-star review on your listening network. It is so easy and it makes such a big difference on getting episodes like this out there. And I would also love it for you to share this episode. Do you have someone in your friendship, community, or even family that would love to hear it? Then all you need to do is on your device is use the share icon and it will be able to message them this podcast episode instantly. You can also reshare this episode directly on social media using the same icon. And when you do, please tag me at #thisorganizedhome on Instagram so that I can share that with everyone as well. Thank you for listening, and I will talk to you again later.